Vision Sunday, you guys, really, really excited to share with you what God has placed on my heart for New Life Church in 2020. It's been an exciting year, really, really exciting year for us. Lots of different things going on. Now, before I get into this, let me give you a quick update with Mom and Dad. Y'all been wanting to know what's going on with my parents. So they have had a great, great time in India. They have both been preaching their guts out, literally, just preaching. My mom, now you ladies know she's got a word, but my mom has been preaching, and she's been used by God. Yes, so y'all brag on her when she comes back a little bit, all right? Because we're excited for Mom and Dad and Pastor John Bonnie, what they've been doing. But they're going to be back late Tuesday evening over, I think they start to fly out it's either late this evening or early tomorrow morning, but they'll be back Tuesday evening. It's 18 hours on a plane. Yeah, I know. And then when they get back Tuesday night, my sister and all her kids show up. So it's like, welcome home. Here's a tornado. But I was going to show you all kinds of photos and different things, but listen, Pastor wants to share that. I'm going to let Dad and Mom share that with you guys some next Sunday so you can hear from them. And again, they appreciate everybody who's been praying. They're doing well. I was finally able to FaceTime Mom. The only thing she said to pray for me was, she's like, this food, Josh. Pray for me, this food. Dad seemed fine. That was just Mom, so I don't know. All right. New Life, Vision Sunday. We are in an exciting season here. Man, what an interesting year, especially the last 6 months. It's really been a season of transition. During this season of transition and growing, my wife and I have been praying. You know, we walked into this, stepping into this position with, we didn't have all of the details figured out. That's why we walk by faith and not by, hey, y'all read your Bible too. Cool. And so we've been trusting God along the way, and I'm the kind of person that I love to be prepared. It drives me nuts when I'm not prepared. I can't handle that really well, so I like to be prepared in advance, and so I'm a planner by nature. And so I immediately started making lists and praying and writing things down, and God, what do you want me to do? And what Megan and I have been sharing, and God gave her some specifics, and he's given me some things, and I just wasn't really sure what to do. Well, today is the day where God has finally clarified in our hearts, and it's been clear in our hearts for our core vision for where we're headed, New Life, in 2020. Now, let me be real up front with this. What I'm going to share with you today isn't all going to take place at once. So don't get overwhelmed at what we share, and don't get all excited over everything all at once. Remember, this will be phased in with wisdom over time. But we did want to share with you some clarity. And this is a core vision. This is not an expansive vision. This is not, we're starting churches here and here and here and here. This is about our core vision. God really, really spoke to my heart about strengthening the foundation through 2020 and then opening up to some more expansion. And we'll get into that here in a bit. Put a Habakkuk 2 up on the screen. So this is what the Bible says. And the Lord replied, and you all are familiar with this, write that revelation, write that vision down and make it plain. Everybody say, make it plain. Upon tables so that Harold, who's Harold? So that you can run with it. I'm just joking. So that those who have this vision, we want to make it plain. We want you to see this vision clearly. It helps to see clearly. And this is what today is about. It's about seeing clearly. I don't know how many of you have had an eye infection or something stuck in your eye and for some reason obstructed your ability to see and affected your ability to see. It's annoying, right? It's frustrating, right? You don't know necessarily what you're doing. You're not able to determine and judge distances. All kinds of things are affected by your vision. And so today is about you and I, every one of us collectively, being able to see clearly the vision that God has for New Life Church. So that way, when you're running with this vision, you're not wondering, am I going to trip? Am I going to fall? Do I know where I'm stepping? Do I know where I'm headed? No, we're going to clear the path, and we're going to point the way, and that you're going to be able to see clearly the vision that God has for here at New Life Church, and it's important. So typically, we've shared the vision and all the big deal and all the big news stuff at the end, but I'm not typical. I'm pretty much the opposite of that, and so I wanted to share where we're headed first. I'm going to start the service with what we're doing and where we're headed, and then we're going to get into the Word for a little bit, after this. And so we're going to start with today, how we're going to initiate this. I'm going to get everybody on the same page for what we're doing in the month of December and how we're going to finish 2020 and what we're going to be doing together. Again, you all have been amazing with your generosity. I mean, just outstanding with your generosity. From your giving to the Haitian kids we support hundreds of kids on the island of Haiti. Did you know that we support, as a church, hundreds of these kids every day to get an education and a meal and clothes? We do that. We don't talk about it a lot, but we do that. And so this past summer, y'all brought in 500 or plus boxes to give these kids for Christmas on the island of Haiti, which is amazing. And then, of course, all the other acts of generosity that we've been doing, from the Huntington East School to the Thanksgiving outreach we're getting ready to launch into. You guys have been amazing. Well, the generosity is going to continue. So starting with this, today is, of course, we do our angel food. And it starts and begins today, our angel tree, angel tree. And so angel tree is a powerful, powerful way to bless children in our own region. And this is something I wanted to emphasize. And this is why we have continued to work with the Salvation Army every year with the angel tree program, is because these presents go to kids in our region. A lot of the Christmas projects that a lot of other churches do, and we're thankful for what they do, they don't necessarily go to kids in our region, but Angel Tree does. We confirm that before we get these names off, you know, off of them. We make sure that these are going to all these kids, are going to all these gifts are going to children in our own region, and it's important. So we just have right now 50 names on that tree, but we wanted to put that tree out there early this year so that way those of you that feel led, continue to be generous, can grab a name. And what you do is you grab that card off and you write down the name, or write down, the number that correlates to the card you have, so that we know who has picked it up and has taken that card off. And we thought you could go take advantage of some Black Friday deals this year and actually get some of these presents and spend a little bit less money, but be a blessing. But we're starting that today, and we're going to continue to be a blessing as we hit this Christmas season and give back. And that's, again, we lead by generosity in New Life Church, and we're thankful for a group of generous people. And by the way, when we talk to the Salvation Army, there are some groups that have been pulling away from them lately and been doing other projects, and they were thrilled to tears that we were sticking with them to help them out, because they know the needs that are still represented in our own region. So we're not just helping children on the island of Haiti, and to help those kids, we're looking over top of the heads of all the kids in our own area that need food and help. No, we are helping everybody. We're helping those children who can't help themselves on Haiti, but we're also helping kids here in Cabell County and the surrounding counties who need help as well. That's the heart. That's the heart, New Life Church. So that's where we're starting. Next, Christmas. We are doing a series, starting a series beginning next Sunday, called Simple Christmas. Now, let me explain what we're doing through this series. In the past, you guys have been a part of this, we've had what we called Celebrate Christmas at New Life. How many of you have been a part of those services or witnessed that? We had some crazy fun, and we usually do. This year, we are taking a year off from Celebrate Christmas. Now, We will bring it back next year, bigger and better than ever. We've got some big plans for that. But this year, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, simplify some things. And so we decided to, it's really great. We're calling the series Simple Christmas. And so you guys know me well enough. Every Sunday is going to be something super Christmassy and fun. In fact, through this series, we're going to teach just the basic simple truths of Christmas and how it will affect and impact your life. And we're going to get real into the real meanings and just have some fun with that. We're going to start with hope. I'm going to preach next Sunday morning, which of course we have communion and kids in here, and I've got a lot of fun things planned for that day. And then we're going to continue on. But you guys know me well enough that even though I'm calling the series Simple Christmas, there's going to be some surprises. One Sunday we've got a horse and carriage ride set up for you guys who want to go on it. There's one Sunday that Darth Vader may even show up. What does Darth Vader have to do with Christmas? You got to show up to find out. But just y'all know me, so it's not going to be quite it's simple in the teaching and the truth, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun at Christmas. And so we have out there in the lobby a lot of these invite cards. Simple Christmas on the front at New Life, and on the back it has a list of all the events taking place. And we're going to make these available for you to pass out every single week, every single day through Christmas. So this series will go through the fourth Sunday of Christmas, which I believe is the 22nd. But from there we'll go or the end of Christmas, and then we'll go from there to something new. But we wanted to make sure everybody knows about what we're doing in Christmas, so we're all on the same page. So be a bringer. Be a bringer. Grab a stack of cards and be a bringer. Invite them. By the way, I'm thrilled at all the people who I made super nervous last Sunday who took that initiative to share their story either on social media or with someone in person and hashtagged my new life story. That I've seen some amazing stories. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't know, and I was really fired up to see everybody sharing their faith in a social way and going public for Jesus. We'll continue that. Continue that. Be bold for Jesus. Invite someone. I promise you, this is a great season to get someone saved, to get someone in church, to see someone's life be turned around. It's a season of Jesus, and we're going to give Jesus every single opportunity we can. All right, so grab some of those simple Christmas invite cards. Next, on Wednesday the 18th, we have an evening with the Bowmans. I don't know if you know who the Bowmans are. Blaine and his wife, Christine, have been coming here for a long, long time. Some of you old school New Lifers know who I'm talking about. But they do a special Christmas thing, and it's going to be a Wednesday evening. We're going to have refreshments and food and fun, and they're just going to sing some fun Christmas songs, and he's hilarious, and y'all will have a blast. A simple evening, real evening, but real fun evening, just about an hour long right before Christmas, but it's on the 18th, and I did want you to be aware of that. And then, of course, our Christmas Eve candlelight and communion service, which is on December the 24th. It's from 6 to 7 p.m. This is a super traditional. We'll come in, sing some Christmas carols. I'll be wearing a tie. That's how serious I take this. I wear a tie for Jesus once, maybe twice a year, on Christmas Eve and on Easter. But we'll come in and we're just going to honor the Lord. It's a beautiful evening, so we'll want to pack this room out. And so bring family. We're going to have just a time of sharing. We'll share about we'll have the Christmas story. We'll receive communion together as a church, and then we'll end with candlelight. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful evening. It's about an hour long, and it's Christmas Eve from 6 to 7 p.m. So lots of opportunities to bring people to church and invite people to New Life Church. And again, grab these simple cards, these simple Christmas cards, and invite. There's a ton of them out there. They look really cool, too. And so it's going to be an exciting Christmas here at New Life Church. So that gets us all on the same page for Christmas. Now we're going to talk about, as we look ahead to 2020, where we're headed and where the vision is taking us. And some of this is taking place here, and some of this is not. But I do want to say, as we get into looking ahead for 2020, remember, these will be phased in. Everything's not happening all at once. So when we hit January 1, everything just happens. No, we're going to take our time and phase these in. So don't let some of this information overwhelm you about change, because I know how people get all, their armpits get sweaty when you start talking about change. And so be aware of what we're doing. We're phasing this in. But this is an exciting time, very exciting time, New Life Church. And I also want to tell you this. New Life, and I guess you figured this out by now, with Josh leading as a pastor, I'm not going to let y'all get very comfortable, not very long. I'm going to do something to mess with you. And so part of this is going to make us get uncomfortable for the Lord, and that's a healthy thing. Starting with Club New Life Kids, our children's ministry. We're calling it 2.0 upgrades. It's been over 10 years since our kids had any kind of paint or anything in those classrooms. Children's ministry at New Life Church is one of the most valuable and important ministries that exist. We love your kids, and we want them learning and growing about Jesus through their faith in Jesus in an environment that is made for them, where there are no distractions, they are thriving in. And so our kids' classrooms are in need of some upgrades. We just did a really awesome upgrade at the beginning of the year in our youth ministry, and it turned out spectacular. Looks so great up there. The kids are loving it up there. And so our children's ministry needs some upgrades as well. So we're not talking about major remodeling, but if you parents walk back there, some of the ceiling tile is dated. It needs to be replaced. We need light fixtures replaced. We need paint on walls. We've got a new theme that we're going to come up with. We've got some new ideas for the kids' main auditorium. And so we'll be rolling that out in the first quarter. We want this done January, February, March. We want this done through the first quarter of 2020 so that we can get our kids in these rooms. There won't be any services shut down for that remodeling and for those upgrades. Services will continue normally, but we did want you to be aware that we're going to place, starting with an emphasis on our kids ministry, because kids matter. Kids matter, and they matter very, very much, and we're reaching a lot of families in this region, and we want them to know that when they bring their kids to New Life Church, listen, I want these kids having the most fun that they've had all week at New Life Church. I do. I want them having more fun here than they have anywhere else. More fun than, you know, they don't want to pull their phones out in our children's ministry because they're having so much fun learning and growing about Jesus Christ. And so that's very, very, very important. All right, so that's the first thing. Now, the second thing I'm going to share with, I've been out in the lobby, and I love to, my wife and I like to greet you guys during the first song and say hi and just encourage you to worship the Lord. We love doing that. But some Sundays, we like to stand out there in the lobby and say hi to people and just take our time and come in. And so when we do that, I've noticed some things about New Life Church. And I knew this about you before, but I've really noticed it now, is that y'all don't like to show up on time. And that's okay. That's okay. Today, we were running super late. So it happens. I get it. I'm not picking on anybody. I just thought, all right, I was talking to a couple of the elders about this, and I was like, let's just be honest here. These people, it don't matter. I could offer free stuff. They're still not showing up. They don't care. So what can we do about this? If they're not going to show up on time, one thing I did realize, standing out there watching everybody walking in, especially some of y'all that have kids and lots of kids and some of you that are parking way in the back, we have a long parking lot. This sucker is like 3 football fields long. And so some of you, it's not that you're super late, but by the time you walk in, you're getting in at like 18, 19 after, but it took you 7.5 minutes to walk from your car to the church. And so I thought, well, if I can't get them here on time, I can at least get them in the building sooner. And I thought, so here's what we're going to do, and we've already signed an agreement for this. We're going to get you guys, put up there, an electric tram. We're going to get you an electric tram. We're going to pick you up. Now, notice the doors. The doors. This is a closed door tram. And we've got a golf cart that is open. It's like a 3 or 4 seater golf cart. But we've had issues with this. In my heart, I didn't feel real secure about kids riding on something that's open out in a parking lot where there's no seat belts. I mean, you're basically, your seat belt is your parent holding your, you know, shoulder back and not letting you. And we got some crazy kids in this church. So some of these kids are trying to jump off this thing, you know, like jump off and roll and take off running. So we got to be careful. So we found a company that's going to work with us, and it's a closed door electric tram. It's really awesome. We have given them half, or we're giving them half down. They're going to start production of this next week. It can be with 30 to 60 days is when it'll be here. It takes a while because they're doing some customizing on that for us. I want them to have a way for you to step in. So you can see this one on the left. This is a prototype. It'll have some steps for you all to get in and out of it. There is a heater in the front, so that way it can give some simple heat, basic heat in it during the winter months. It has windows that roll down for the summer months. We'll keep it in a area where it's going to be protected from the weather. We'll keep it in our warehouse up at the end, so it's not going to get messed up. But it doesn't have a VIN number, so it's not a vehicle that we take off the road and take down the road and all that. If we're going to use it anywhere, we have to put it on a trailer. It's illegal. But it'll be perfect for getting y'all in the building quicker. So once we get this, when the weather breaks, we're going to build a couple little stations for you to stand under. So that way, if there is raining, you can head to it. This sucker is going to be running from beginning of service, from 20, 30 minutes beginning of service until 20 minutes after service. So whenever you see this sucker, hop on it, get into church quicker, get in here and get your praise on, okay? Plus, it'll be fun. It'll be fun riding in a tram. All right? So that, again, that's been ordered. Now, we will be receiving a special offering, not until January, to help cover the cost of this. So whenever we receive a special offering in January, give towards it, so that we can help cover the cost of this. You're going to be riding it. Let's pay for it, too. Big news. This is the next one. This is the next one. Beginning the first quarter of 2020, we are doing a schedule change here at New Life Church. What are we doing? We are adding, you guys. We are going to a second service. We're going to do 9 and 11. Clap them hands. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. So one thing we've noticed is we've had a lot of new people coming to New Life Church. And one thing that's cool about new people that they've been staying. That's been great too. They've been coming to visit and they've been sticking around. And our growth trend right now is we're going to outgrow our capacity. But that's not even the purpose behind this. To be honest with you, the numbers didn't factor into my praying this out even a little bit. And you think, well, why not? numbers matter, but they don't matter that much. What matters is the impact that we're making and the change. And so here's one thing that did factor in. In 2019, 2020, we're a people and a culture who love options. You love options, don't you? You do. You love them. You got options for everything. You got options for the food you eat. You got options for the entertainment that you enjoy. You got options for the vehicles you drive. Everything has options to it. You know, even you can get vegan burgers at Burger King, which is just insane. It's a meatless burger. Throw that in the trash. But it shows our culture. We're a culture of options. We want variety. And one thing that I've learned about our culture, too, is that we got a lot of people who work on Sundays. And that used to not be the case. We have a lot of people who work on Sundays. Some people work Sunday afternoons at like 11, and they can't come to church because we don't have a service for them. Some people work early. Then we got families that have different things going on with their kids and their activities and their early football games. When I was growing up, you didn't have football games and baseball games and all that on Sundays. Well, they do now. And so instead of fighting the culture, I'm just gonna provide an option. So if you got a game, your family's got a game on Sunday at 11 o'clock, and you can be at church now. We're going to remove excuses. You can be at church, and we're going to provide options for people, and we're going to see this grow. But again, we're going to roll this out in the first quarter of 2020. This isn't going to be something we start next week, but in the first quarter of 2020. So in the 1st of January, we will announce to the church-wide when we're going to launch into these two services and this service schedule. We're going to see God bless and grow, and I'm very, very excited for this. And so you're going to give an opportunity initially to sit one and serve one if you want to. So if you want to help us out to get this started, you can sit one service and serve the next. I definitely don't want you serving both services consecutively. I want you in on the word. But as we get this started, you'll be given opportunities to help us to grow and reach more people. Again, our heart is to reach and make Jesus Lord over Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. And we got a lot of people that'll come to this church on those early services and that second service, and so we're excited for this opportunity in the first quarter. All right, next. So we have a lot of people asking questions, how can I become a covenant partner? How can I become a member at New Life Church? What does it mean to be a member? So I've been praying this out, and this one was really important to me. We're going to offer what we're calling Connect Classes. And so at New Life Church, we try to make it obvious that we're here to make Jesus Lord over Huntington, tri-state, the nation, the world. And it's been since August since I shared this. But we broke that down into four core values: belong, grow, serve, and go. And that's really the heart behind these Connect Classes. So if you've thought, how can I be a member here at New Life Church? How can I really connect at New Life Church? And how can I take these next steps and really sow into and really get committed and really plant my roots at New Life Church? Well, these Connect Classes are going to be very valuable because in just over an hour, we're going to teach you what it means to be a part of New Life Church, what it means to be a member of New Life Church, to belong, to grow, to serve, and to go. And so these are going to be four classes that we offer on Sunday mornings. They're going to take place during the service. So until we launch two services, they'll take place during the 10 a.m. service. We will launch into two services. They'll take place during the 9 a.m. service. But these four classes will take place. Week one, which is belong, will take place on the first week of the month. So you'll have the first week, second week, third week, and fourth week. The first class, second class, third class, and fourth class that correlate and correspond to each week. If there's a 5-Sunday month, we won't have one that weekend. But these classes are going to be informative. They're going to be exciting. They're going to help you to identify gifts in your life that God has placed that maybe you weren't aware of. They're going to help you to discover your purpose. You're going to learn our culture here at New Life Church, what it means to be a part of the family here and the body at New Life Church. And then at the end of this, you'll be given an opportunity to fully commit to being a member at New Life Church. You know, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but at New Life Church, we don't come here and we say, hey, come to one service and your life is never the same again. Maybe that happens because God's grace and God's power are so great. But we want you committing to something. We want to see the consistency of faith growing. Because, listen, faith is not a destination. Faith is a journey. There ain't anybody in here that can go, hey, I've arrived. I've got all the faith I need. I'm great. Give me my star. Give me my A. No, faith is not a destination. Faith is a journey. It's ongoing. And so everybody has a next step and their walk with the Lord. And so these Connect Classes are going to be very, very important in helping to establish members, new people here at New Life. Maybe you've been coming for a while and you're really wanting to get connected. Well, this will be a great opportunity for you as well. to meet some leaders, meet some people, and take your next steps. Now, right now, through nlcwv.info, you can do this online. And it's a short teaching that I have, and at the end you can complete this, and we will keep this active until we launch these classes in the first quarter. Once we launch these classes in the first quarter, then we will take that and remove that off of the website, and we'll be pushing everybody into these Connect classes. This is important. All right, next. I told you, we've got a few things to go through. Go teams. Now, I'm very, very excited about these. Go teams. Go teams have been on my heart for actually years, even before we stepped into this position. Go teams are basically any form of outreach that takes place off of this property. And New Life Church, we've been doing a lot of things generously and helping to sow into, but a lot of it is still focused on what takes place here on the property. Well, the Bible didn't just teach us to, you know, reach people when they show up here. The Bible told us, Jesus, he commanded us to go into the highways, the byways, the left, the right, the north, the south, the east, the west, to go. And so we are launching what we're calling go teams. And they're going to be large groups, small groups, but we're going to find areas that need help and assistance in our region, in our area, in Huntington and the tri-state. And whether we have a group of 5 people or we have a group of 50 people, we're going to put you in a New Life Church Go Team t-shirt, and you're going to go be the church. We're going to meet needs. There are needs everywhere you look in this tri-state region. Everywhere you look, there are people in need. And New Life, part of our mission is to relieve burdens. Relieve burdens. And you don't know what an impact even relieving a small burden off somebody's life makes until you're used by God to do it. Where there are people who don't know if they're going to have their next meal or don't know how they're going to feed their kids. They don't know if they're going to get help. They don't know if they're going to get their roof fixed. They don't know if they're going to get their car fixed and their oil changed. They don't know how these things are going to happen. And when you relieve that burden from someone and let God use you, it changes their world. And that little simple act shows the love and life of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do. Now, to get these initiated, we're going to start probably once the weather breaks. This is a second quarter of 2020 initiative. To start and launch this, we're going to do some church-wide go teams, which means we're going to get as many people as possible to launch out and go out into our community and make a difference for the Lord. And so when we get closer to that, we'll be sharing about some of the ideas that God's placed and some of the opportunities that God's giving us to reach into our region. New Life, we are going to be identified and known by in this tri-state region, not by just the faith we speak, but by the faith we live. And there's a big difference. And so these go teams are a big part. Next, in 2020. So the ladies' ministry started. By the way, I am so ridiculously thrilled and blown away at Made for More and how you women have just gotten so excited and fired up about what God is doing through the Made for More women's ministry, which is something God had placed on my wife Megan's heart for New Life Church. And she's, I mean, just an amazing start to this ministry. And I cannot wait to see this time next year what God has done through all the women here at New Life Church. I cannot wait, because where God is leading you is absolutely inspirational. This Friday night for More, what you guys just did, I have so many testimonies of women who just had a great time, met and connected. And it's always a gradual process. You don't start at the finish. You start at the beginning. And so we're starting these out and these ministries and seeing what God's leading and how he's opening doors. But very, very grateful for what God's doing through the women here at New Life Church. Men, we're going to launch something too. And let me tell you something. So it has been prophesied over this region that, you know, big revivals are going to happen. It's going to happen through the youth, through the young people. And I didn't dispute that. But I'm going to be honest with you. In my heart, although that prophecy might be true, I felt that the next revival to hit this region was through the men. It is. I believe it. I believe that God wants to use our church to be a catalyst for this. I believe it was through the men. I see men in this region. I see men who are consumed, men who are consumed with work, men who are consumed with addiction. I see men who are dealing with lots of shame. I see men struggling with corruption. I see men dealing with so many different issues, and they're afraid to talk to each other about it. And so we tough it out. We go all John Wayne on everybody. Anybody know who John Wayne is? That's old school. My dad used to force me to watch those movies when I was a kid, and now I love them. John Wayne was the ultimate tough guy back in the day. He was like Clint Eastwood before Clint Eastwood. He was just so stinking tough. You didn't mess with John Wayne, because he'd come walking in and he'd shoot you in the face.
Partner.
He was awesome. But that's how so many men, we have that attitude and that mentality. We're going to John Wayne it. We're just going to be tough no matter what. And the reality is a lot of men are leading through brokenness. And you can't give what you don't have. You can only give what is on the inside of you. And if you've got nothing in your soul, man, you are struggling and just barely making it through. You're not giving what you need to. So we've got fathers who are really more absent than they are present. We've got men who are expected to lead and they're not sure what to do. We've got men who are afraid to have real conversations about what it means to be a real man of God, what it means to break free, what it means to live and stay free, what it means to lead well. We have a lot of men struggling. They don't know what to do. And if I'm being real honest, this is one of the in my lifetime, this is the worst I've seen. We have a fatherless generation. And I'm just telling you, in my heart, God has birthed a vision to revive the men. To revive the men. Men of honor, men of purpose, men of God, men who will lead well, men who are free, men who can help lead others to freedom, men who are strong, but not strong because of their Bravo mentality and their John Wayne. No, they're strong because of their character. And God has placed this in my heart. And so men, and of course, we're going to have a good time. We're going to break this out in the second quarter of 2020. We're going to break this out. We're going to have small, medium, and large. This is how the Lord showed me, the trifecta. And I shared this with the elders. Small, medium, large. We're going to do small gatherings, small groups of men, medium gatherings, where we have maybe, you know, that's like a breakfast or something like that. One of our elders, he said, what we need to have is an evening of breakfast. And I was like, that's brilliant. The Lord is moving. Let's receive communion. But men, we're going to have fun. And then we're going to have large gatherings. But men, we're going to connect and we're going to grow. And it's going to get, it may start superficial because we don't know each other well yet. We see each other and we worship together, but we don't really know each other well. And so it may start by talking about, you know, sports and guns and cars. And those are cool things. I love those things too. But it's going to get to life and truth and health and leadership and purpose, and it's going to get to the things that matter, but that's something that God has placed on my heart to launch, and it's going to be done well, and it's not going to be something that we just say, hey, sign up for a breakfast, and then we don't meet for 6 months. Now, when we launch this, man, it's the real deal, and so again, we're phasing these things in through 2020, and God is really just, he's really simplified, but he's also clarified the core vision for New Life Church, really making our foundation strong. So that way, when we're ready to expand, the foundation is so strong that we're ready to just immediately spring and launch out. But that is what God has placed on our heart to get started. We've got some big things. Of course, I didn't give you all the specifics yet. We're gonna announce some of those as we get closer. But just to review of where we're headed, Club New Life Kid upgrades. We're gonna patch up and fix up and give our kids ministry the best space that they could possibly have. I'm going to get you guys into this church a little bit quicker on Sunday mornings. You're going to have fun in the electric tram, waving and taking selfies and posting them on Facebook as you're on your way to church. Make sure your kids are getting into the building safer as well. The schedule change, we're going to launch into two services through the first quarter. We'll announce that in January, probably the first week of January even, when we're going to launch into that. If you're a volunteer and you serve, you'll know a little bit sooner because we'll get you prepared. Connect classes, we're going to get everyone connected in this church where you're going to be a part of our membership. You're going to give an opportunity to really grow through these Connect classes because I need you to have in your heart what God has placed in my heart. It's really, really important. If we're going to walk this thing out together, we got to be on the same page. We've got to be at one. And we've got to be in a total agreement. And so I'm excited about these Connect classes getting started. The Go Teams, which are going to make huge impacts in our region. And it's going to make some of you super uncomfortable because you're going to be in a position where you've not been in before, where God's going to use you and he's going to require something of you. And you're going to be so fired up when you've gone out on one of these Go Teams and been used by God. Listen, I'm even believing God that these Go Teams turn into not just local missions, but international missions. I'm believing that we'll start once again sending people overseas from New Life Church, medical teams and evangelistic teams and all these opportunities. I'm excited and I see a vision in my heart about this and I'm really fired up, but we've got to start small. You got to start somewhere. And then, of course, the men's ministry. We're going to launch that in the second quarter. And men of New Life here, we're going to have I can't wait to get together and bond and eat ribs and learn and grow together for Jesus. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, that's right. Ribs will be a part of this ministry. Maybe every single time. I don't know. All right. How does that sound, you guys? Does it sound good? That's enough right now, right? Okay. Again, this is our core vision. This is getting us started. We're going to expand as we grow, but this is enough to get us going. All right, bow your heads and pray. We're going to get into the Word just for a few minutes this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the vision of God. It is your vision for us. But Lord God, just like you give us a corporate vision, a vision for us all, you've also given us a personal vision. And that's what we're about to discuss, and that's what we're about to share, is the vision that you have for our lives. So we pray our hearts are open, not just to what you're asking us to do as a body here at New Life Church to reach people for Jesus, but Lord, also what you're requiring of us personally so that we can continue to grow and be used by you. We open our hearts and allow your voice to speak to us right now in Jesus' name to receive everything you have for us. We love you. We give you glory. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, so we're caught up. We know what's happening in December. You got your invite card you're going to grab. Now we're going to talk about you for just a little bit. Because, again, God not only has a vision for our church as a body of believers, but he also has a vision just for you, a vision that he wants just for you in your life, for you as well. And again, I've been sharing it and echoing it today, and if you've been around this church any amount of time, you've heard us talk about our vision, our mission here at New Life Church. We're making Jesus Lord over Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, the world. And again, we've broken that down into four key areas. When we read through Scripture, I see that this is a spiritual journey that God has for every one of us that he wants us to accomplish. He wants us to belong, he wants us to grow, he wants to serve, and he wants us to go. And when we talk about belong, we're talking about a real relationship with Jesus. I mean a real relationship with Jesus, not a I go to church on Sunday relationship with Jesus, but I have a walking, talking, thriving, communicating, he speaks in me, he speaks through me, I speak, I pray, I read the word, a real thriving relationship with Jesus. That is what it means to belong. You belong to the family of God. You belong to our Heavenly Father. You're in the family, and it's a real relationship with Jesus, and so it's personal, it's real. And then once you have that relationship with Lord, then you go to the next step, which is to grow. And when we talk about grow, what I'm really emphasizing, and this is where we address our issues and our hang-ups and our addictions and the things that hold us back. It could be our wounds. It could be our past. It could be anything that we've gone through in life, anything that we've experienced. But these are the things that keep us from living God's best for our life. And we want to grow through them. We want our faith to grow. We want to change the way we think. We want to change the way we talk. We want to change the way we see. We're going to grow. We're going to discover, find freedom through this process, and it's important. So these are the things that we identify through the Word of God that say, all right, that was before Jesus. I don't want that in my life now that I have Jesus. Not any longer. And we're going to grow. And this is the second step. So first, we belong. We become a part of the kingdom and part of the family of God, and then we grow. And we do the first two so that we can get to the third step. And we use the word serve. And that word is really, it's really about discovering your purpose. It's not just showing up and serving once a week at church, but it's really about discovering your purpose for that God has for your life. And you know that some of the recent statistics say that 8 out of 10 Christians still don't know the true purpose that God has for their life? 8 out of 10 people. Say they love Jesus and they belong to the kingdom, they belong to the family of God, they're growing in their faith, but they really don't know what their purpose is. They're still seeking, still searching, still feel a little bit lost, and that hurts my feelings when I think about that. So many people are going through that, that God has placed a spiritual gift in you. He has. Everybody in here has a gift from God. Now, you may not know what it is. That's why we're going to do these Connect classes. We got to draw that out and identify that. Help you discover those gifts. Help you discover those purposes so that you can really live for the Lord and really use those gifts to make a difference. It's really, really important because if God placed that in you, he wants to use it. And he has placed those gifts in you. And every Christian, everybody in here has a role in the economy of God. Everybody has a part and has something that God has placed you on this blue-green planet to accomplish for him. And it's more than just waking up and eating Wheaties and doing your thing all day. Or maybe you don't like Wheaties. I don't know what it is. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, that's more like you. And so maybe it's, but you have a purpose that's been given by God. And once you get through that third one, if you can ever discover your purpose and if you can ever start to really serve the Lord in that purpose, it leads you to the fourth one. And the fourth one is one of the most valuable. It's one of the most important, and it's a priority. And that is where our lives are living in such a way where we go. We go and do what? Make a difference. We make a difference. Our lives are impacting not just ourselves, but our friends, our family, people who interact with us every day. We're making a difference for the kingdom of God. And it's really, really valuable. It's very, very important. So this is the vision that God has placed on our heart for us. And it's making Jesus Lord starting here. And so what's important for us, the question to ask is, what is my next step? belong, grow, serve, and go. What is my next step? Because everybody has a next step. Everybody has a step that they need to take. And what am I doing to take these next steps? So what I'm doing this morning, very quickly, very briefly, is we're going to have a bit of a spiritual checkup. Kind of like a, hey, how are you doing right now? How are things going in your spiritual life right now? This is Pastor Josh being a little bit probey, being a little bit, you know, in, I guess, maybe a little too much interest. I don't know. But I just felt like I needed to really dig deep a little bit and find out what's going on in our spiritual life and have a real spiritual inventory of what's taking place and what, how the Lord's working in us. All right. I will say this. Part of the reason why I'm sharing this way today is because it's human nature that once we get excited about something, it's human nature that after a while we start to kind of lose that same passion. As it start to lose that same kind of energy, that same kind of excitement for so many different reasons. And a lot of times when we ignore something, it doesn't get better, it gets worse. And there's a word that's used, it's actually a mechanical term that's used, and it's actually used in thermodynamics, and it's called entropy. I don't know if you've heard of the word entropy. And the word entropy, it's this industry term people are using, but it's really a principle of living. And entropy basically means this. It means that if you leave stuff alone, eventually there's a gradual decline into disorder. And so as if you ignore something, you pretend that it's just going to be there all the time. If you leave it alone, eventually it doesn't get better, it declines. It's just think, if you leave your body alone and don't do anything to help it, what happens? Does it get better or does it get worse? Right? I'm not trying to pick on anybody or anything. I mean, I'm about to scarf, it's Thanksgiving next week, and I've been practicing. I ate a half box of Cheez-Its last night to prepare for this. It's all right. But if you don't take care of it, it doesn't get better, it gets worse. I mean, think about it. This applies in every area of your life. You got a relationship and you don't work on that relationship. You got a marriage, you don't work on that marriage. Does it get better or does it get worse? It gets worse. This is a truth. Entropy. It gets worse, and it's our human nature. And so it's also human nature to say, but I'm okay. I'm okay. I don't need to do anything until it gets bad. And that's a big issue with a lot of people, is we don't do anything about it until it's so bad we have to do something about it. And that's the point where you're calling people in a crisis mode and you're posting on Facebook, oh my God, I need everybody to pray because, well, listen, wisdom says don't wait until it gets so bad that you have to do something about it. Do something about it now. Keep yourself in shape. If you're doing well, stay in shape. Keep yourself spiritually healthy and vibrant. Keep that marriage relationship strong. Don't just assume it'll stay that way. That's where entropy kicks in. That's where a lot of people struggle. And that's what a lot of people deal with. And so that's what I'm making the case for today, is I'm helping us. Maybe you're not in a bad place, but again, I want to make sure that entropy doesn't kick in and it eventually declines. So quick story. There's a married couple, older couple. They've been married 55 years, something like that. You know, after 55 years of marriage, it probably has a tendency to lose some of that passion, some of that romance and all that. Well, one day, the husband, older, he's a grandpa, he's sitting there watching TV. Man, I don't know what happened that day, but grandma started feeling frisky. And so while he's watching TV, grandma walks in and just sits right beside him. He kind of looks at her. She scoots in, nuzzles, kind of kisses grandpa on the cheek and starts to nibble on his neck. And grandpa's like, Well, out of nowhere, grandpa gets up, starts to walk away. And grandma, she's kind of sitting there, and she's like, did I bother you? I'm sorry. Did I offend you? Where are you going? He said, no, baby, I love it. I'm going to get my teeth. Grandpa was going to do some nibbling himself, wasn't he? Now, this is not a marriage seminar or marriage series, but maybe y'all want to write that down. For those of you that are married, you're going to say, go get your teeth. And now you know what that means. Oh, Jesus. Why do my messages always get sidetracked at some point? Oh, Lord. Y'all were getting a little tight. I needed you to laugh a little bit. Go get them teeth. Listen, God has a vision for your life. He has a mission and a purpose for your life. And it's not just a vision for you to grab hold of and be passionate and excited for a while. This is a vision for your life. He wants you to live this thing. He wants you to live this thing. He doesn't want you getting, you know, 3 or 4 months in the fire burning out and you losing interest. He wants you living vibrant and strong for this. And that's why the Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1. Put that first scripture up. Paul says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He's saying, I didn't stop asking God for this. I didn't stop praying for this. When I pray for the church, I don't just pray once a week. I pray every single day for this. When I'm leading you into the vision of belong, grow, serve, and go, I am praying that you belong to the kingdom of God, to our Heavenly Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the family of God every single day. If you don't know Jesus, I pray for you every day that you will belong in His family. If you do know Jesus, I still pray for you every day that you'll grow closer to Him. But this is something you pray for every single day. This isn't something you ask for one time and then you've asked and it's all good and stop bothering God with all your annoying questions anymore. No, and Paul says this, I'm asking every single day, again and again and again. And Paul says, I'm asking that at the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's saying, I really need you to see this. This is Vision Sunday. I need you to see this clearly, so that you can see how important it is for you to know God and not just get to know God on a little bit, but know Him even better. If you do know God, then you need to know Him better. Again, every one of us have a next step that we need to take, that God is requiring, that God is asking of us. So that's part of my prayer for you, is that you would get to know Him better if you're already in the family. And I wrote this down. There is more to God than what you have currently experienced. And there are some of you that have been serving the Lord for a long time. There is more to God than what you've currently experienced. And I'm going to also encourage you to don't just live off of the past experiences. Pursue God for what He's got next for you. Because there are some great experiences that He wants to have and work in and through your life. That's who God is. God is not just the God of yesterday. He's the God of today and forever. And so you stay focused, not on just what you've gone through and what God has done in and through your life, but stay focused on the vision of where He's leading you to. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, so that I'm going to keep asking that the eyes of your heart get enlightened. He says, I want the eyes of your heart get enlightened. Now, whenever I taught this back in the day, I used to teach kids in the kids' classes, which was always a blast. I shared this about the eyes of your heart, and I had a kid raise his hand. When he raised his hand, he was like, Mr. Josh. And I was like, yes. He's like, your heart ain't got no eyes. Your eyes is on your head. That's how he said it. I hollered. I laughed so hard. I had to not like embarrass him, but he was like, your heart ain't got no eyes. Mr. Josh, your eyes is on your head. I started laughing, but I was kind of like, well, he's telling the truth. But Paul, the Apostle Paul is like, no. This is important. You got to understand this. The eyes of your heart. And what he's saying is this. Stop looking, trying to find God through these, and start looking through this. Because when all you ever do is look through these, what you do is you look through God and you only see God through what you've experienced. And that experience could be good, it could be bad, it could be painful, it could be healthy, it could have been hurt, it could have been anguish, it could have been a lot of different things. And he's saying, don't just pursue God through your pain, through your loss, through the hurt. Pursue Him through the heart, that transformed heart. That's very important. Be enlightened in your heart. And that's Paul's way of saying, listen, I want you to grow. I want you to find the freedom in Jesus Christ. I don't want you to just find that freedom. I want you to keep it. I want you seeing this life through this freedom. I want you seeing and living, experiencing this life through the freedom of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, and I keep asking that you might know the hope in which he's called you. And again, it's sad that 8 out of 10 Christians don't know this hope. They don't know the purpose for why God's placed them on this planet. They love God. They love serving in the church, but they don't know their purpose. And Paul says, that's why I keep asking. That's why I keep asking, and that's why I pray for this church, is because I need you all to know that you're called, and you're called, and you're called, and you're called, and that we all have a calling by God to make a difference in this life for the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you've been given a position, if you've been properly trained, or if you've been given a title, you are called by God to go make a difference. You are. That means you are anointed by God to go make a difference. The anointing is a beautiful thing because the anointing can make up for the lack of training and the lack of experience. There have been moments where I've been placed into a situation where I was uncomfortable, I wasn't trained, I was not prepared. And in that moment, you know what I said? I said, God, place your anointing on me because I need to work through you, not through me. And in that moment, his anointing hit me and I was able to do what he called me to do. You're called. You're called by God. It's for every single person here. You have a call on your life, and I'm going to keep asking God for this until we realize that and we see God in our lives. Y'all following with me. Y'all tracking with me. We're going to get to the good stuff here in just like two more minutes. I think it's all good so far. Let me know. So it's really important. Belong, grow, serve. If we don't do those three things, it's hard to get to that fourth thing, to go. To where we're living this best life, where we're making a difference for the kingdom of God, where we're seeing this, you know, we're in scripture in Ephesians 1, where he says where we're experiencing the glorious inheritance. Paul says there's a glorious inheritance for you through this. Now, in this passage of scripture in Ephesians 1, put it back up there. He says this glorious inheritance, notice that you can only get this when you're with a group of people. The riches of a glorious inheritance in his what? Holy people. Is how he says it. So this comes through a group of people. Well, what is this glorious riches? What is this glorious inheritance? Well, the Bible's super clear about that. Psalm chapter 2, ask me and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. Your inheritance, new life, is making Jesus Lord over Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. Your inheritance, new life, is when a family member who you thought had no shot at coming into the kingdom of God, for some reason you can't explain, makes Jesus Lord. Your inheritance is seeing one family at a time come out of bondage, come out of addiction, and break free, find freedom, stay free, and live for Jesus. Your inheritance is 80 to 100 kids at Huntington East Middle School who don't get fed every week, but now because of you, they're getting something to eat. Do you see this? Your inheritance is, even though you're here and my parents are in India, your inheritance is impacting 800 to 1,000 people who are going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a region surrounded by people who hate him. That's your inheritance. You can't be there physically, but they can, so that's part of your inheritance because we're in this together. Making Jesus Lord over Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. You following what I'm saying? This is part of our mission. This is part of our inheritance. And you won't discover what your role is until you discover your purpose. You won't discover your role if you're still hanging on to your past. And you won't let go of the hurt and the pain and the problems. And you can't let go of that until you really belong in the kingdom of God and identify yourself through who you are in Christ. This is why this is so important. This is why it's so valuable. And so I've given us a few questions that we're going to ask to kind of check to see where we're at in this spiritual and this personal vision. And so the first question I have is this. What is my spiritual temperature? I need to keep a close watch on what I'm calling our spiritual temperature. And what I mean by this is you're going to heaven. This isn't a question of am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? Is Jesus my Lord or Jesus not? It's not, but you need to understand your spiritual life has a direct impact on the rest of your life. And so you need to take an inventory of your spiritual temperature. Because listen, you are not an earthly being having a temporary spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a temporary earthly experience. So you have to emphasize and prioritize your spiritual health. It's very, very important because your spiritual health impacts every other part of your life. It impacts the way you treat people. It impacts the way you live, the way you talk, the way you think. It impacts everything, and this is so important. And so, listen, there's going to be one day where we all get that glorified body. Praise the Lord. And when we get that glorified body, so I talked to one guy, and he's like, man, when I get my glorified body, I'm getting hair and abs. I was like, woo! Hair and abs. Jeez. Look out, heaven ladies. I don't know. I said that, but that was inappropriate. One day that's going to happen, all right, whatever. And that's awesome when we get that. A little taller, whatever. But this is what the Bible says in Romans. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Serving the Lord, spiritual fervor. Don't lack that because there's a temptation for that entropy to kick in. If you leave it alone, it'll die out. You leave it alone, it starts to decline. You lose that fire. You lose that passion. I've heard people say, I was all fired up for Jesus, and now I'm not. What's the deal? Well, of course you're not. That's human nature. And if I'm being honest, that affects all of us. There's nobody that's exempt from that. There's nobody that lives perfectly holy all the time. That affects all of us. And so everybody has to deal with that. That's why every day you have to wake up and choose, today I'm going to, I'm still wearing my band, pray first. Remember we did that 21 days of prayer? I'm going to wake up and pray first. I'm going to wake up and read my Bible. I'm going to wake up and give God some time today. I'm going to study. I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do these things. This is important. Because my spirit man matters. And that's why some of you got to recommit to spending more time in prayer again. That's why some of you have to commit to getting back into the Word of God again. Start by reading the Gospel of Luke. It's the Christmas season. Start reading the story of Jesus and how this all came to be. Start reading it right now. Read it through the end of December. Read it with your family if you need. Read it on your own, but you need to get back into the Word of God because it'll stir you back up. Revelation 2, the Bible says this. It says, listen, I'm proud of you. I know your deeds. I know about your hard work. I know all these good things. So God is excited. He's saying you've persevered. You don't tolerate the bad stuff, the wickedness, and all of those that claim to be apostles and found them to be false. So you got your doctrines in good shape. You've persevered, endured all these hardship, and you've not grown weary, but I've got this one thing against you. This one thing against you. And he points that out. And so I know this, New Life, we've been in a very busy season, a season of transition. We've been working hard. You guys have been doing amazing work. But in the process of this growth and getting uncomfortable and women's ministry launching and outreaches going on and Christmas taking place, all these things, in the midst of this, he says, watch this. Jesus speaking here, he said, you're doing all that work, but you've forgotten, you're forsaken that first love. That love you had at first. Now listen, don't let that condemn you. Only the devil condemns. We're not here to condemn. But what do we do? What do we do? You need to consider if you've fallen, and if you're not doing well, you got to consider how far you've fallen. And then you need to start from the beginning. Go back and repent and get it right. So we got to do a checkup on our spiritual inventory. Second is this. We got to do a checkup on our growing. Now, I don't know if y'all remember this, but when I taught on the Breakthrough series, we did that series where we started with Lazarus. Remember Lazarus? We broke him free. That was cool, right? Well, there was a truth in that I'm going to reemphasize today, that a lot of times your salvation is through the Lord, but your freedom is found through your friends, your relationships. So the second point is this. You have to make time for authentic relationships with other believers. You have to make time for that. You absolutely have to make time for that. And you're saying, why are you doing that, Pastor Josh? You know, well, I'll tell you why. Because human nature right now in this culture is super busy. Hebrews 10 points this out. Put that scripture up in Hebrews 10. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another. Spur, you know what a spur is? Those cowboys like John Wayne, they had the spurs on their boots and they'd kick their horse and make it run faster. Spur one another. And that means sometimes you got to get a kick in the rear end every once in a while to spur towards good deeds, towards love and all these good things going on. I don't need that, Pastor Josh. I'm in good shape. I love people. I'm just fine. Well, what about your friends? What about your family? You ain't in this all by yourself. Spur one another towards good deeds, towards love. All the more because there's a capital D. There's a judgment day coming where you're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to ask you what you did with this life. And it's important for us to be prepared for that day. And let me tell you something else. In the day we live in, you need someone in your life who can look at you in the eye and say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing really? And then you answer, oh, I'm fine. No, you're not fine. I can tell. I can see it in your eye. What's going on? Let's talk. Let's pray. Let's believe. That's got to happen. And a lot of us right now, we have replaced that with social media. And social media, it's not social. The only person you're social with is your phone. Being honest. And that's not a person. And social media is not even all that social anymore. It's just everybody venting and complaining about everybody else. I'll get on and read some news article about our state and some decisions that are being made in the state, and there's like 70 comments, and 65 of them are from people who don't even live here. And at that moment, I have to walk in love, because I just want to say, I want to respond and reply to every one of them, you shut up, you shut up, you shut up. But that's not love either. But that's social media, in a nutshell. It's a disaster. You need someone who can look at you in your eye and say, let's pray and agree. You need that. You've got to make room for authentic relationships. You need that. I need that. That's why Made for More matters. That's why the men's ministry we're launching matters. We're going to get that back. We're going to get that back. Social media has, if anything, pulled us more apart. We're going to get that back, New Life Church. So that's something you've got to take an inventory with. The third thing is this. your calling. There's a lot of people who don't know their calling. And I was thinking about this. What is the entropy? What is the problem with when it comes to serving and knowing the Lord? And I wrote this down. It's probably because you either see too much of yourself in a wrong way or you don't see yourself good enough in the right way. And so you're either overinflating yourself or you're underinflating yourself. But either way, there's a wrong perspective on this. And that's why the third point is this. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. See, you've got an identity in Christ that you have to connect with. You have to grow in the kingdom of God and to serve and to discover your purpose. And that is God's picture of you, is your faith in Him. This is what the Bible says in Romans 12. It says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And that's not that because that word highly means incorrect, right? The word is huperphaneo. High five somebody. I just got that right. That was a big deal for me. Huperphaneo. And in the Greek, that word, it's very, very important. It means having an incorrect view of yourself and instead thinking of yourself with sober judgment. Sober judgment, that word sober is the word soperphaneo. And that word means a clear mind. It's the same word that Jesus used when he healed that man who was filled with devils. At the end, it said the man was sober in his mind. It's that word, that Greek word here, where now all of a sudden his mind is clear once again. And so it's important for us to see ourselves the right way, to connect with our identity in Christ. And if you have, you know, so that means this. What is my correct identity in Christ? It's in faith. Faith is how God sees you. Faith is what moves God. And so if what you're doing isn't in faith, you have an incorrect view. It's got to be in faith, trusting God, believing God in His Word. Faith is God's picture of you. It's how He's created us. The one who created us, it's through faith. And so we operate and live by faith. We please God by and through faith. And so it's important for that. And then he goes on to say, so now each one of us have a body, but a bunch of members, and these members don't have all the same function. We don't all do the same thing. He's saying, so I got a hand as a function, I got an arm as a function, I got a cheek as a function, I got all these different things that function together, and they're part of a collection of body parts, but they all have a different function. And so he says, so in Christ, that is also us. So let me say it this way. He's saying, if you don't discover your value, if you don't discover how God sees you, then I, as a pastor, you as a believer, if we have people in our church who don't see the value and belong, grow, and serve, and go, and we don't discover our purpose and we don't think it matters enough, then that actually affects the rest of the body. Now, can the body live without a hand? Sure. But there's a problem. When I got an itch and I can't scratch it, I need you. You need me. We need each other. This is how the body works. And how we flow effectively. And so the Bible, he goes on to say, we belong to each other. And so I need you to be a part. Whenever you don't belong, and you don't grow, and you don't serve, and you don't go, it not only affects you, it affects the whole body. And God says it matters very, very much that we're all doing our part, spending time in God's Word, growing together, keeping our freedom. It leads me to the last part. If we're doing the first three things again, it leads us to the fourth, and that is the word go. And the thing that came to my mind on this is that where entropy kicks in here and that disorder kicks in here, number four, is the thing that came to mind is when we don't think enough about heaven, we're only thinking about earth. We're not thinking about heaven enough. We're thinking about earth. And I stop making a difference when I get consumed with my life here on earth instead of heaven and others being impacted for the kingdom of God. And it's true, we can get real comfortable here. And I'm telling you, we got it good. We got it real good. I mean, y'all are sitting on nice, comfy chairs, air conditioned. We couldn't get the heat installed this week because there was an issue, but we're getting it installed after Thanksgiving, a new heater, so you got nice heating. Y'all get to go home and watch TV. You get to watch it on your phones. You get to eat food. We got a good life. We got a nice, comfortable life on this earth, don't we? I'm thankful for this life. And let me tell you something else while I'm thinking about it. I know I got two more minutes. Let me tell you something else. Don't you dare, not one more minute, not one more moment, let anybody tell you that this region is dead. Stop it. Put an end to it. That this region is not a nice region and it's not worth living in and we're defeated and we're broke and we're all addicted and we're all struggling. That is wrong. That is a lie from the devil. Let me tell you something. God loves this region. I love this region. You love this region. And this region is prosperous. This region is blessed. This region is victorious. This region is free. This region is our inheritance. And what makes this region great is the fact that you are in it. And we're here to make a difference in it. And I am tired of hearing people fuss about this region. And I'm putting a stop to it. I'm putting a stop to it. Not anymore. Not on my watch. My city, my problem. That's not in my notes. Entropy kicks in, and then we stop caring. That's what happens. It kicks in. And this is what the Bible says. Paul said this. He said, listen, with tears in my eyes, there are a bunch of you claiming to be great Christians who live for heaven, but your conduct doesn't show that. He says, let your conduct show that you... He said, in fact, your conduct shows that you're an enemy of the cross of Christ and you're headed for destruction. Your God is your appetite, and you fall in love with those appetites. Man, that is heavy. I wrote this down after reading this. It's okay to have pleasures. It's not okay to fall in love with your pleasures. I'm going to say that again. It's okay to have pleasures. It's not okay to fall in love with those pleasures. Our pleasure. Oh, y'all going to hate me for this. Listen. Football can become a god to you if you're not careful. When games on Saturday affect attendance on Sunday, that's a problem. And it happens. People get upset and get all mad and get all riled up. It's crazy. Up and down with losses. Listen, enjoy your Saturdays, but don't make Saturdays a god. Enjoy your kids' sports, but don't make your kids' sports a god. Come on, somebody. Listen, go Herd, go Bucks, go Ears, go all of them. All right, I love all these teams. I'm all for them. I want your teams to win. I'm all for your kids' little teams. But I'm just telling you, don't let your pleasures consume you. Don't let it happen. Paul said, they brag only about simple things that they think about, only about this life on earth, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we eagerly wait for his return as our Savior, as our Savior. He says, listen, we're all going to stand before the Lord one day. We're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, why do I let you into my heaven? And your answer better be Jesus. It's the only answer you can give. But then after that, he says, there's another judgment where he's going to take the life of Josh Huffman, and he's going to put it to fire. And he's going to say, this life that you lived, I'm going to burn it. And everything that was of substance that made a difference is going to remain. And everything that did not impact for the kingdom of God is going to be consumed and burned up. And whatever you have left, that's what's going to determine your great reward. That doesn't have anything to do with you getting to heaven or not. You're in. You're good. But if you want a great reward, he's saying your life better matter more than just a bunch of sports or hobbies or passions. That's going to get consumed. Now, if you're using those things to build the kingdom of God, that's a difference. But are you? I know when I'm watching Duke basketball and they're not doing so well, I'm not building the kingdom of God. Bo can testify to that because we text each other during the games. He's not building the kingdom of God either. Lord have mercy. But he's saying that's very real. Y'all leave Josh alone. I mean, leave Bo alone. That's what I meant to say. You leave me alone like that, I'm going to start thinking about vacations and my kids and my family and things that I love and Duke basketball. And those are all good things. I have no plan on giving those up, but those pleasures cannot consume me. I cannot fall in love with those things more than I fall in love with Jesus and his purpose for my life. My life, your life, is for heaven. Somebody say amen.